fighting for America. Fighting for Idaho.
They asked us to try to get three people to vote for the bond, and so I was trying to do my part.
The multi-million dollar bond would build two middle schools and an elementary school, remodel and expand Meridian High, and buy property where another school can be built in the future.
Fighting for you.
One had to hire an attorney to write a letter to force them off her property, and the other one had to get her big burly neighbor to come down and basically threaten them.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. We've been talking about net neutrality for quite some time. Joining us now to discuss is internet expert Michael Doherty. Knows all about government agency power grabs. He's a board member of Snoopwall, the powerhouse cybersecurity firm, and the author of The Devil Inside the Beltway, the shocking expose of the U.S. government surveillance and overreach into cybersecurity, medicine, and small business. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good to have you with us here at 580KIDO. So before we get to net neutrality, let's get to the devil inside the beltway. How much does the government know about us, and do we have any privacy left in our lives?
Well, I think we have privacy because the size of the haystack is so huge. But when they want to know something, they can find out pretty easily. So it's a double-edged sword, right? They have sensory overload of how much information they have access to if they want. So it's kind of like it's against the law to smoke. Don't smoke, got nothing to worry about in the short run. For now, you know, things keep changing. But that's what I think the real world truth is.
Okay, we're having a couple issues here. See if we can get him to call back on another line. That's fairly distorted. Some good information there as we move along here. And again, we are talking about net neutrality. We want to make sure that y'all can understand that. Phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We are looking to hear what Mr. Doherty has to say. And a lot of you have been discussing that for quite some time with us here at 580KIDO, your concern over privacy and, you know, whether you watch any type of the big shows. I've got a webcam here. Does that mean that somebody at the NSA could be watching me? Shocking that anybody would do that. But, you know, let's face it, if you are online, if you are, you know, you do have a cell phone, the government could possibly track you. And we will get back to Mr. Doherty in a minute. If not, we will reschedule him. Big news coming out of Washington today. It's all around Benjamin Netanyahu.
Among the several dozen Democrats sitting out the speech is Tennessee Congressman Steve Cohen. He's concerned about the prime minister's mindset when it comes to dealing with the threat of a nuclear Iran.
You don't negotiate with them. You don't have diplomacy. What's the alternative? The alternative is war. And I don't think anybody wants to put war on the table.
Netanyahu says his speech will outline an emerging deal that could allow Iran to build nuclear weapons. House Republicans invited the prime minister to speak without consulting the White House. No administration official will attend the speech. In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News Radio.
So here we have this issue in Washington where you have the White House very angry that Congress has decided to invite Benjamin Netanyahu. And now, whether or not you're John Boehner or anyone else, the bottom line here is that the president is not the boss of Congress. They're co-equal brands of government. That's the big issue, right? That's the big issue indeed. So here you have this congressman, one of 55, one of them from Tennessee, saying essentially that he's going to walk out, that you have to negotiate with the Iranians. Is that the right move? By the way, on our website, 580kido.com, you can take a look at our poll. Was it right for SNL to make fun of ISIS? We'll go back to Michael Doherty here. And Mr. Doherty, welcome back.
No problem. Thank you.
Good to have you with us. So back to our concern over security and privacy. I mean, we have issues where people say that if you're, you know, you have a certain type of television that people can actually watch you watching TV. I don't know if that would be too exciting for them or me for that matter.
Well, you know, this technological explosion is moving so fast. It's moving faster than we can keep up. And so when that happens, there's leaks everywhere. And then the government has their own bureaucracy and incompetency and intentions. And you've got security people in one part of the world there, and you've got regulators in the other. And so it is definitely an issue. And we have to catch up with ourselves, and we're going to have horror stories here and there. We have to have security because we have people outside this country trying to attack us. Yeah, we also have to have privacy. And so it's a very imperfect system right now.
Well, and we see that with the IRS as well. We can't find the emails. And, lo and behold, nobody asked the right people, and there they all are.
And those would be the government agencies, and those people are nightmares. Those people have been given power by Congress and the executive branch a century ago. And those agencies have morphed into these Frankensteins, and that type of behavior we're hearing all the time, and they're unconscionable. The thing is, it's not new. It's just new that we're finding it out because all these things are starting to affect us so much. And this administration has stoked these agencies with so much fervor that they're just full of themselves. And you can see it when they get in front of Congress and the contempt on their face. There's no fear on their face, and there's no respect, but there is contempt.
So do we have to worry about them spying on us, or are they too incompetent?
Well, those agencies, I would say they're quite incompetent. The NSA and those people are trying to keep us safe, and there's a divide. I mean, all parts of the government machine in D.C. do not speak to each other. As a matter of fact, they barely speak to each other. And that's why they trip over themselves. I mean, the Federal Communications Commission sitting here, you know, putting their flag in the ground that they're going to rule the Internet. Now we're going to live in the middle court for that while the FTC and Homeland Security aren't happy because they think they should be ruling the Internet. And then you're going to have Congress that's actually going to have to step in and do something. I mean, they're all just – they even fight among themselves.
So what does net neutrality mean for all of us?
I think net neutrality right now, that's a buzzword. That's a playbook that especially the left often uses. We create an artificial villain, an artificial victim, and they create the villain of the access is being throttled, which is barely a problem actually. And if it really is a problem, there's antitrust laws already in existence that could have taken it. And the problem is the way the agencies work with these regulations that they get to make up, by the way, not even letting Congress know, they also backdoor in a bunch of other things like a Trojan horse. And that's where the fear is. So sure, net neutrality right now, they like to say it means that we're all going to have equal access, and that's fair. And that's their victim, the little guy, not getting his equal access. And the villain's the big corporation. But in reality, it's all the other things they're going to pack in here, all the bureaucracy they're going to create, all the control they're going to create, all the money you're going to have to pay lawyers to make sure you're playing by the rules with an agency. Those are barriers to entry for innovators to get involved. And that means the little guy loses because they don't have clear definitions when they make up these regulations. They have words like reasonable and fair. And that's like saying what pretty is. And so then you've got to spend a fortune with lawyers to make sure you're compliant. And then if they catch you in something they don't like, they can kind of change what they think pretty and fair and reasonable is. So it's just this quagmire, and it's the game regulators play. And that's why it's expensive to have this. And that's why there's nothing neutral about anything a regulator gets involved in.
Well, it seems pretty much lost our way when we're talking about individual freedoms. Just you explaining to me is kind of complicated. I mean, what is, you know, free and what isn't? And I love how you talk about fair, because that seems to be the buzzword, making it fair for everyone.
That's right. And it is buzzwords. I mean, we live in a Twitter world where people are not paying attention, and you don't lose your freedom in 2 seconds. You lose it subtly through confusion and complication. That's exactly what they do. And this isn't new. But it's new to us because we're getting attention, because actually it's affecting the Internet, and it was affecting Obamacare. The agencies have been perfecting this trick for decades.
Well, what's
and
next?
And that's how they've rendered Congress impotent.
Wow. Well, what's next then, sir?
Well, we're going to have to really stand for our freedom because freedom isn't free. We're going to have to let people know this isn't okay. 3 years ago, they had the CISPA legislation. They tried to regulate the Internet and all the cyber issues through congressional action, and they had a law they were preparing, and the phones went crazy all over both sides of the aisle. Now notice it's a bit secretive. So it's hard for phones to ring when people don't know what's in it. So you've got to call FCC and your congressman. Those phone calls work. They're votes. They're mini votes. You might not have a long conversation, but they count. And I would call and say, this secrecy's not okay. And they'll pay attention to that because Congress ultimately is who's given the power of these agencies, and they can pull it back or defund them.
Mr. Daugherty, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
It's great talking to you.
All right. Thank you. Michael Daugherty with us talking about cybersecurity, the devil inside the Beltway, the shocking expose of the U.S. government surveillance and overreach into cybersecurity, medicine, and small business. That's quite a large breath. Phone numbers here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. But we talked to Mr. Daugherty, and we take a look at other issues of the day, and one being, you know, how much privacy do we have? Do you take out your SIM card in your phone? I mean, is that really what, you know, like they do in the movies? Does that really work? Maybe that's what we need to do is get somebody on to tell us how to get off the grid, if that's even possible. And if you have a car with a computer in it, can't they track you that way? A friend of mine was telling me about the Tesla cars, and apparently in the Tesla cars that if you're driving down the road and the people at Tesla or the computer notices that your air pressure is low in your tires, they can alter the air pressure, probably not while you're driving, but at a standstill by remote control. And those of you kind of like me that have just a few miles on the odometer, or maybe a lot, this was all science fiction. What was it? Demolition Man with Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes, where they had the self-driving cars. Now all of a sudden they've got them in California, where the car drives itself. So if the computers are running everything, you know, where is our rights as individuals to have privacy? Is that out the window? Have we traded off privacy and sanctuary and independence for Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram? Let's talk. 617, Kevin Miller in the morning. Time for traffic now.
Frenzy, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I love Israel. I'm for Israel. I think Israel's going to be hurt by this speech, and I think it has been hurt. Because the bottom line is, President Obama is the most important person in America for Israel to have a good relationship with. It's important that the commander-in-chief and the prime minister of Israel work together. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, this debate shouldn't be in Washington. The debate really is in Geneva.
There we have it. Democratic congressman from Tennessee, Steve Cohen. Back in my days in Tennessee, we had him on once or twice, very liberal, which is strange because that area of the country, very conservative, kind of like parts of the Treasure Valley, if you will. He's going to lead a group or be amongst the group of 55 Democrats that will not show up to the Benjamin Netanyahu speech. Now, why is this important? You're saying, Kevin, can't we talk about how gas prices have gone up 10 cents yesterday and going to go up 10 cents again? We're getting hosed at the pump one more time. Yeah, you're right. That impacts us right here in the Treasure Valley. But on the other hand, we have this looming crisis. And for many of us, you know, we all procrastinate. Many of us do that all the time when it comes to weight loss, money, finances, getting it together. And that's kind of how I kind of think we're doing what we're doing with our situation with Iran. You know, here we have Nagmeh Abedini's husband, Pastor Saeed, being held there not for months, not for a year, but for years. Many Americans tortured, killed by the Iranian government. You have forces within our country saying it ain't our gig. You have the President of the United States, and this is a nonpartisan take. And for those that run around with their, blue girl red state stickers, For those of you that think that have bought into the cult of personality of President Obama, let me just give you the evidence. Two words, Middle East. One word, Iran. The idea that the president is so desperate to build on his resume. And that's all this is. The final 2 years is let's stick it to the American people. Well, Kevin, that's an inflammatory statement. No, it isn't. It's the truth. The Middle East is falling apart. The president only cares about what history will remember him as. He's the one that brought gays into the military. He brought in health care, which has led to a disaster for most of us. He has had the most anti-business administration. He refuses to fund Keystone, to approve Keystone. He has a couple goals left for us. Number one, it is a deal with Iran. Iran has not been trusted. I mean, how bad is it that the Prime Minister of Israel has to come here and tell the American people, the American Congress, and Congress doesn't need the approval of the president. They're not the boss of him. He's not the boss of them. They can do whatever the heck they want. Who elected him the boss of Congress? It's a co-equal branch of government. So here, he's taken the internet. He wants to take the guns. And he's got two things. He wants to legalize the illegals, giving him a permanent, demographically insured, Democratic majority, and dummy Boehner and McConnell and the rest of the goofs in Congress probably will go off the cliff with him because, well, who better to give Republicans advice than a Democrat? A liberal Democrat at that. And then the final piece of the pie is he wants a deal with Iran. Now, never mind that Iran has lengthened and strengthened its nuclear program. Never mind that Iran wants to kill Israel and destroy the Jewish people. We want to cut a deal with them because it's going to look good for his resume when he goes before the Supreme Court or the Senate to be on the Supreme Court. Could you imagine what would be worse, another term of the president or Chief Justice Obama? Associate Justice Michelle Obama makes you want to go into the law profession, doesn't it? So getting back to this, and from a faith-based perspective, because we pride ourselves on this show that we are a faith-based show, what does it say that America, long been the most strident ally of Israel, of the Jewish people, will turn their backs on God's people and allow Iran to go after them? And here you have John Kerry saying that our relationship with Israel is the closest it's ever been in quite some time. This administration has a problem figuring out fact from fiction, right? Just a bunch of lies. So that's what's happening nationally. Now, I know a lot of you follow the education beat. We pride ourselves on not just talking about education, but being involved in the process. And next week we will be at Bishop Kelly High School. Thank you to our friends at CapEd. Thank you to our friends at Chick-fil-A. A lot of other people are getting behind the effort. And really, they're the ones that make it happen. Without CapEd, without Chick-fil-A that value you and understand the importance of speaking with educators, kids and students, and parents, we couldn't do it. And that's just how it is. And I appreciate them believing in the schools program. Now, a lot of people are saying that the testing coming up is unconstitutional, invades people's privacies, and it is a horrific intrusion into the lives of Idaho citizens. So, coming up at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, do you believe, and Myla Wood told us that her kid's going to do this, that you have the right, the duty, the ability to opt out of these SBAC tests? By the way, whatever happened to eliminating Common Core? I heard a lot of people and our friends, Idahoans for Local Education, they're at all the kids' fairs. Those folks working very hard. But, you know, where is it in the legislature? Where are our elected officials in eliminating Common Core? Or is that gone by the wayside? We're going to talk education next. By the way, you'll hear a case of a student who was suspended for speaking out against testing. I'd love to hear from you next. My name is Kevin Miller. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, coming up at the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be speaking with the Smith family. They own that property in Eagle, the old gas station there across from the Jacksons and Bodacious Pig, and right down the road from Mickey's and all our friends in Eagle. Our friends at Wild West as well. Boy, that's a great place for a cup of coffee. Anyway, I digress. We've covered the Eagle Roundabout, and thankfully, due to Mrs. Miller's influence on me, I get barraged with what's going on in Eagle all the time. Does that impact all of us? Well, you have a lot of folks that live in Eagle and love Eagle like you love your neighborhood. But from what we understand, apparently it looks like the city, according to a release that we have, it will attempt to use eminent domain to seize some property. Apparently, tomorrow evening, maybe it's tonight, property owners in Eagle are facing the probability of legal action to protect their property rights as the Eagle Urban Renewal Authority, whose members are the city council, members of Eagle, appear poised to rubber stamp a recommendation to condemn and seize private property through the dubious interpretation of eminent domain. Boy, whoever wrote that release, pretty smart fellow. But it comes down to this. Does the government have a right to seize your property? And we'll be discussing that in the 8 o'clock hour. If you have a thought on the government taking over your property, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You remember our friend Alma. She was on yesterday giving us an update about some Senate committees pertaining to who does and who doesn't own your mineral rights. So a lot going on there. Let's get to the school issue, shall we? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So we have this young lady in New Mexico. Now, she was suspended. Well, what did she do? Did she tell off a teacher? Did she smack a fellow student? No, she spoke out against testing. She was suspended for school for letting her classmates know they can opt out of the state's new online standardized test. Now she's 12 years old. She printed out forms from her school's own website and got a trip to the principal's office. Here's what she told our own Elizabeth Vargas at 580KIDO.
Well, I wanted the parents to know that they had the option to let their students either take the test or not. While the principal said it wasn't my right, that it was the parents' choice. So I simply told her that I was giving them the option that they didn't know about until now.
And then what happened when you did that?
I was sent to the principal's office for an hour and 20 minutes doing nothing, and then at the end of the day, she ended up suspending me.
You were suspended for just using your rights. You know, the school sent this, and I have a question for you, Mom. They said that Santa Fe Public School supports a parent's right to opt his or her child out of a state-mandated standardized testing. No students in the district have been disciplined for supporting or promoting this district policy of a parent's right to opt their child out of testing. What's your reaction there? Because clearly your daughter was punished. She was suspended and then put in the principal's office for just letting people know of their rights.
That is correct. She was, you know, her rights were violated there. The principal definitely violated it. I did talk to our assistant superintendent, Dr. Lujan, and he felt the same way that her rights had been violated as well. She did nothing wrong. All she wanted to do is the kids were protesting this, and they were going to the roundhouse, and it needed to get bigger.
There we have it. So, you know, what would happen if this was your son, your daughter? Do you support this young lady's right to say no to the tests? Because, again, we've covered this. We'll continue to cover it because it's an issue that impacts you. When it comes to the Common Core standards, when it comes to standardized testing, when it comes to the data mining, when it comes to all the other allegations that we've heard about again and again and again, when it comes to public education. And here you have everybody saying, well, we have to take the test. Now we have some parents, like our friend Myla Wood, who's told us on this program that she's going to make sure her son does not take the big test. And, you know, what are the consequences? And I suppose it's the gilded age of litigation. If you're Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, times are good because you can sue said school system. And really, mandatory testing, does that have a place when it comes to proficiency? I know, get out your number two pencil in the old days. How many of us love to take those standardized testing when we went to school? But in the end, do we really know anything? And is it really the work of Big Brother to determine what the kids are and aren't learning? Now, the proponents of the Department of Education are going to say, yes, we're giving the schools all this money. We're giving the schools all this investment. By goodness gracious golly, we've got to make sure that these kids are taken care of and everybody's held accountable. Now, what would you do if this was your daughter, your son, that said, hey, I'm going to practice something that led to the founding of the Republic? And that's civil disobedience. She didn't break any rules, but she was suspended in the principal's office for an hour and almost an hour and a half. Our friend Bob saying, First Amendment, anybody?
Everybody needed to know, and the parents needed to know, that they did have the option to opt their children out. This is a form that you can pull up on the Santa Fe Public School website, and it's right there, so it's not like we did anything wrong.
How outraged are you to know that your daughter, just expressing this, really looking out for everybody else, was suspended for doing so?
I'm furious. Like I said, her rights have been violated. And, you know, I've talked to the senators, and the senators agree with me that this is wrong.
There we have it. And that is, thank you for clarifying that, Sweet William. That is Elizabeth Hasselbeck of Fox, not Elizabeth Vargas of ABC. A big difference. But think about this. You're in eighth grade. Your kid's in eighth grade. How traumatic would that be if all of a sudden they get hauled into the principal's office with the bad kids for standing up for themselves? And when I hear parents all the time say, Kevin Miller, we're going to make sure that our kids aren't victims of the data mining, that aren't victims of the Common Core. By the way, speaking of the Common Core, have you been watching television lately? Well, Kevin, I know you watch television. That's all you do. You would be correct, sir or ma'am. But I've noticed lately, and maybe it's because of our friends with Idahoans for Local Education that want to make sure that the state does not sell out to the Common Core, that are not happy with the Common Core, that a number of commercials have begun playing once again for the Idaho Core standards.
The difference between education standards and curriculum is very simple. What is a standard? A standard is a goal, and the curriculum is how you reach that goal. For example, running a marathon, that's your goal. The curriculum is what it takes to achieve your goal. This is the same for education standards. These standards are goals for what a child should know and be able to do at each grade and are set at the state level. How these standards are achieved is up to each school district, which is responsible for setting their own curriculum. This keeps the curriculum at the local level and relevant to each child and family from that school district. Each teacher can use a variety of different tools and techniques to help every child achieve the state standards set for their grade. These standards prepare each child for success in college or their chosen career. Idaho Core Standards, preparing every kid for success in college and in life. For more information, visit our website at Idaho Core Standards.
So there we have it. And that's on radio stations and TV stations and the like. Hey, it sounds pretty innocuous. We want to make sure that everybody's educated. Have you ever noticed that when the government comes in and starts bullying people about education, it makes the situation worse? Have there been any victories with No Child Left Behind? How about some of these other issues? And what about the standardized testing? So again, at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, if your child opts out of something and it's their right to do so, and the principal or someone else suspends them, What do you do? Now, most of us, we're going to say, oh, we're going to fight. We're going to take it to the extreme. But really, when it comes to your kid, are you willing to do that? 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Let's get you to work.
80% roughly of Idaho teachers support the Common Core. So you don't want to just pull the rug out from under them.
I don't know where you got the numbers that 80% of Idaho teachers support this. I have no clue where that comes from.
The Common Core is pushing kids to a higher level, period. There's much more rigor. There's much more mastery. There's much more work.
Let's get it started.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Let's go to the phones. Tea Party Bob joins us now from the Gem State Patriot. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you this morning?
I'm all right, and you?
Well, you know, I was sitting there listening to what you've been talking about this SBAC test, and I don't know whether you're aware or not, but there have been two bills down at the State House to try and allow the students to opt out of the SBAC test, and it's kind of funny that nobody wants to hear them in the Education Committee, and we can't seem to get any traction there. So while you have Republican National Committee, you have the Idaho Republican Party, and you even have the Democrats up in Washington who are trying to opt out of this test. We have our people down here in our state house that don't want to listen to the public. They don't want to give this a hearing. And I can't quite understand it. When 58% of the people that are polled have a bad opinion of Common Core, and 77% of the people that are 77% of the teachers that have been polled are telling us that this test is nothing more than a problem when it comes to the classroom. Everybody is teaching to this test. It doesn't make a lot of sense to continue on with it. There are options.
And even though the test hasn't been, or Common Core is just in its infancy here in Idaho.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? 19 states now are in the process of either dropping Common Core or slowing that whole process down because they're finding so many problems with it. This was on the news last night, right here. And I don't understand why our people down there in the State House don't get it, why our legislators don't get it. They're not doing anything to slow this thing down. I think it's all about the money that they want from the federal government, and they don't want to get them upset at them because they'll lose other grants. This is about the kids. This is about the teachers. This is about the people of Idaho. It's not about the legislators. It's not about the money.
Right. Getting back to the point of people opting out of the test, what do you think will happen to people here in Idaho if they do what this young lady did in New Mexico?
Who knows? I mean, you know, with the kind of people we have in the legislature now, I really don't know. But they, right now, they do have the option to opt out. Although, if you listen to the administrators, they don't want that to happen. I mean, they've already opted out up in Madison County. They found another test for the kids to take that's much better.
Right, but let's face it, you can opt out, but there's always repercussions.
There's always repercussions for everything. If you drive too fast on a highway, you get a ticket.
Right, but people say, well, you can opt out, and there are going to be no repercussions. We all know there are going to be repercussions.
Well, I'll tell you, I think eventually this may wind up in court. I don't want to see it there. But
well, hard to believe that in conservative Idaho, it got into implementation in the first place.
Well, everybody says conservative Idaho. We don't have a conservative Idaho anymore. It used to be conservative. We all know that it's changed over the last 10 years. You know, we've had a bunch of Democrats that couldn't run for office, so they ran as Republicans, and that's what we have in our Senate and our House now.
According to you.
Well, no, hey, listen, you know, I look at the voting records of these people. When you look at a voting record, it tells pretty much what they're all about, whether they are liberal, whether they are moderate, or they really are conservative. You can see just by the bills they're voting for or against. But I do think here we're going to have a problem. You've got a lot of the state's representatives and the state senators who would like to give this a public hearing. And we haven't been able to get the chairman of the House Education Committee to accept this and allow this into committee.
Well, that's shocking.
Well, it is shocking. You know, I have on my desk right now a resolution that's signed by 36 groups here in Idaho. That's over 20,000 people. And they know this is coming, but they still will not open the doors up for the people to get a fair hearing.
Right.
You've got people like Myla Woods and
right.
Stephanie Zimmerman. They've been working, trying to get
right.
the legislators to do something with us. They won't do it.
All right, Tea Party Bob, thank you for the call. Time for traffic now. Good morning.
We're the reddest of the red state in the United States of America. Let's stay that way. Thank you.
And coming up, we'll talk net neutrality. Dr. Gerard Lamero with us. More of your phone calls next. Governor?
We're the reddest of the red state in the United States of America. Let's stay that way. Thank you.
Fox News is next. Currently 31 in Nampa. Kevin Miller, good morning. KIDO Nampa, Idaho.